Blog Talk Radio.
New beginnings are not just for the young. I don't care how many times I hear that song. It's got to be at least 20 years old. But I love it. It's timely because new beginnings are not just for the young. They're for all of us. And we just love that name evidently because this is New Beginnings Ministry. And my name is Suzanne and my husband is John. and he will be joining us shortly. We welcome you to our broadcast this evening. We're here every Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, and we thank you for joining us on today, April 24th, for our topic this evening, which is kindness. Kindness. Steadfastness is a proof of the reality of faith and a byproduct of salvation, not a means to it. And in that, we find kindness, that we are kind to one another. Let's begin our prayer begin our time with prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this time together. We thank you, Father God, that you would just bless and anoint my husband as he prepares to bring the word, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that you will speak to him and through him, Father. We thank you, Lord, for each and every listener, Father God, those listeners that are live and active right now, those that will choose to participate in this Bible study, Father God, those that want to follow along and just listen, dear Lord, for those, Father God, that will reference this broadcast, Father God, through our archives, dear Lord, and receive in that way. We thank you, Father God, that your word is timeless, Father God, that it's always right on time, that it's always relevant, and we praise you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord, that you would help us, Father God, as we go through the word, Father God, help us with our interpretation and our understanding of your word. In Jesus' name, we just thank you. Amen. Amen. Our scripture this evening is from Romans 11:22. And Romans 11:22 says, "Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God, sternness to those who fail, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off." Kindness, continuing with kindness. So what is your understanding of kindness? What does kindness really mean? We say it all the time, be kind to one another. We see the words, we have books that talk about the kindness of strangers and random acts of kindness, but what does that word actually mean? We know that it's the fruit of the Spirit, but what does it mean? We know it's something that the Lord has directed us to do in a way that we relate to one another, that in our relationships, in our interactions with one another, that we should be kind to one another. But what does kindness actually mean? Does anyone have anything to say? Well, kindness means gentleness. Kindness may mean mercy. Kindness may mean caring. Kindness, oh, wow, could mean, I mean, there's so many different ways that we can look at it, but kindness is about sharing. Kindness is about, it's an act of the heart. Kindness talks about your compassion, your gentleness. Kindness, the act of kindness is a evidence of your humanity and how kind-hearted or how considerate you are, how sympathetic you can be, how charitable you can be, you know. And I think that compassion really, really says it, because that's what the Lord extends to us, his mercy, his compassion. Kindness is an act of empathy, that I may not be able to feel it, but I understand it. Concern, the act of concern. Kindness is an act of consideration, to be warm, to be giving, to be benevolent. I don't know if I said caring or not, but kindness is an act of caring. John, are you on the line?
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, sister. Yes, I am on the line. And that is so true. Kindness, it is. That's something that we can all use all the time, kindness. Amen?
Amen, amen. Amen. We should be kind whenever possible, and it's always possible to be kind. Always possible to be kind. If you haven't any charity in your heart, you have the worst kind of heart trouble. That's what Bob Hope said, just to quote somebody off of the, you know, out of our American celebrity. But if you don't have kindness in your heart, what kind of heart do you have? You know, are you hard-hearted? How can you not have kindness or practice kindness? So we need to remember that as we go through our day, to think about random acts of kindness and different ways that we can bestow a kindness towards one another and for one another. Well, let's see what the Lord says about kindness. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Now, this is the place and time where my husband would say, make sure that you call our radio station if you want to be heard. You want to join in, just press 1. And we will make sure that we let you in. So let's see what Galatians 5:22 says about kindness. 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness." And I'm going to go on to 23, "gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law, for there's no law against those things, no law." What spiritual fruits are blossoming in your life right now? Which ones do you have that still need to bud? Oh, that's a good question. What is the biggest change that being a Christian has made in your life when it comes to the spiritual fruit? You see, to inherit the kingdom of God, we are to exercise the fruit of the Spirit. That's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. With one another, you should express joy. You should express your love. You should practice peace and peacemaking. Not to be a troublemaker, but a peacemaker. You're always either one or the other. To exercise self-control and gentleness in all that we do. Brother John?
Amen, amen, amen. And that's all. Just, you know, to add on to that, Sister Suzanne, you know, when we look at this, Paul looks at it, and he doesn't trace it. When we look at the fruit of the Spirit, he does not trace it to our own hearts, even when we have been renewed. But what he says is it is to be regarded to the result of how the Spirit, our spirit man, is operating on the soul. How is it regarded as how the spirit man is operated on the soul? And he's looking at it in terms of, you know, with the fruit of the Spirit is through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, everything is produced by the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is producing these things, that's where the fruit, that's those things that we look at, the love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, the faith, all of that is produced by the Spirit. Amen.
I don't understand what you're saying. So we don't have to discuss that one.
Well, basically, Paul, at that time, he is saying that he does not trace the fruits of the Spirit to our own hearts. when we have been renewed, when we have been renewed. But he says that they are to be regarded to the result of how the Spirit operates on the soul. How the Spirit operates on the soul. In other words, the fruit of the Spirit is not produced by our heart, but it is produced by, through the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul is saying at that time when he speaks about, you know, the fruits of the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that is producing all of these things that we're saying that's the fruit of the Spirit. Is that any clearer?
No. See, I don't know if we're looking at the same thing, but my understanding of that verse is that, yes, it operates. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you have a desire to do these things. But if your heart is hardened, then you're not going to practice those things of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. You're not going to practice them. You're going to do those things that, as if you weren't saved, you know. So it's a matter of practicing and coming in and growing in kindness. That if it wasn't your nature, if it has not been your nature, you ask the Holy Spirit for help. You know, you ask the Holy Spirit to increase your ability to be kind, to give you opportunities to practice kindness, to give you opportunities to see kindness and to experience. And to experience kindness. Can we go back to life in the Spirit?
Okay.
Life by the Spirit, if we go back to Galatians 5:16, it says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature." So if you are living by the Spirit and you've welcomed the Holy Spirit into your heart, and your heart is and your heart's desire is to be like Jesus and to practice the things of the Lord, then you're going to be in the Spirit. And it says that they are in conflict with each other if they're not like that. So if you say that you're saved and you're spirit filled and you are in the Spirit, but your behaviors, that you're not kind, yet you're not practicing love or joy or self-control, that you're not faithful, you know, not gentle with people, then you're not exercising you're not practicing or displaying what you claim to be or what you've said that you were. So you can call yourself a Christian, you know, all you want, but if you're not exercising it and you don't have the Spirit that lives within you, then you're not. You know, then, you know, what do people see? So I can be out with the big Bible, and you all know that I say that a lot, the big Bible and the huge wooden cross. And if I'm out in the street cutting up and cursing and being mean to people and disrespectful or just not exercising self-control or looking like Jesus, then I'm contrary to what I said I was. You know, I'm contrary to the Spirit then, that my sinful nature has risen up. And that's witchcraft. That's basically witchcraft to be acting that way. But when you have the Lord, when you're in the Lord, when you have the Spirit on you, when you choose to to follow the Holy Spirit, to invite the Holy Spirit into your heart, and you consult with the Holy Spirit, that you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and you pray for discernment as you go throughout your day and throughout this world and in and out of different communities, then we should be willing to display the fruits of the Spirit, to exercise it, and to be what we say we're going to be, even regardless of what's going on around us. That in the Spirit, that's where we're supposed to operate, not in this natural realm, but in the Spirit realm. Then it goes on to say,
well, I think we're basically saying the same thing, because what I'm emphasizing, what the whole emphasis Paul is emphasizing is that everything is generated through the Holy Spirit. Everything is generated through the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if you ever hear that term when people say, my soul is happy. My soul is happy. That, you know, that the Holy Spirit, everything is connected. Everything is the Holy Spirit is in operation. You know, those are the things. We have love, we have joy, there is goodness, we feel great, you know, because the Holy Spirit is guiding us and directing us. So, you know, I think we're basically saying it's the same thing, but we're just saying it in different terms. But what Paul is saying is that it's everything is generated through the Holy Spirit. So if we are operating through the Holy Spirit, then we're going to have love, joy, peace, and gentleness, and all of the fruits of the Spirit. All of the fruits of the Spirit, but everything is generated from the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us. So if we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, then we will receive the fruit of the Spirit. You were going to go back one?
Huh?
You was going to go back? You were getting ready to make a comment on something else?
Yes. It says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. There's sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, faction, and envy. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoked, and envying each other. You see, Father God gives us a choice. That it's your choice. No one, I mean, even with our own natural children, if I have to coerce someone to say, I love you, you know, that they love me, then is it really love? You know, if I have to blackmail the children to come to visit me on Mother's Day, do they really want to come? There should be a question there. So Father God gives us that liberty also, that it's up to us to desire. He has put the, he's given us knowledge, and our knowledge is growing. He's given us the book, the Bible, in order to learn, and he opens up like little nuggets more and more and more to us as we grow and we desire more. He opens that up to us, but he doesn't force feed us, and he doesn't force himself on us. We're supposed to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives. We're supposed to desire to operate in the Spirit and to be and for our spirit man to be in total connection and communion with the Holy Spirit. For us to, and we're supposed to, if we're doing that, then our desire would be peace. Our desire would be kindness and goodness and all of the other fruits of the Spirit that we talked about, self-control and gentleness and to be faithful. Our desire would be for more and more and more of that because we've made a choice. But if you haven't made a choice, the Holy Spirit just doesn't come on you and make you do so-and-so, because if that was the case, the whole world would be saved. If that were the case, you know, we could just say stick 'em and they go, you know, like our dog Rex, you know, stick 'em and the Holy Spirit would jump on that person and just inhabit them. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. To be coerced and to be bullied doesn't change a person's heart. It's the practice and the desire to be closer to the Lord. It's the desire to live with the Holy Spirit and to walk in the Spirit that changes the heart. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants our hearts. And that's what the Lord is telling us, to guard our heart. So guard our heart and practice the things, the fruit of the Spirit, because as you practice the fruit of the Spirit and you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit and you continue to commune with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, you are guarding your heart.
Amen. Amen. Are there any other comments out there that want to make any comments, Sister Suzanne?
No. Our next scripture, we do have listeners. The board is lit up as far as our listeners are concerned, but we don't have any comments at this time. Our next scripture is Romans 2:4. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 says, "Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance?" Praise God. Praise God. Let's keep, you know me with the going back and reading it in context. This chapter is talking about God's righteous judgment. You know, it's that we can see God's, how merciful God is and how consistent He is. He's like a parent. You know, I used to think that my parents were very strict, but as I grew older, I understood that they weren't strict, is that they love me, and that their teachings, they love me enough to teach me. They were merciful in their discipline, and that they were very consistent in their discipline. It wasn't one day, you know, you can do this, next day you can't. It was consistency across the board with my siblings and I. So going to the beginning of chapter 2 on God's righteous judgment, it says, "You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same thing. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them, and yet do the same thing, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart," here goes the heart again, "you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what he has done." Praise God. Praise God. So we can't be self-seeking and evil. You know, he wants us to be his kindness should lead us to repentance. We should repent because we know good and well that we deserve punishment, you know. But God in his mercifulness and his kindness, he has not punished us. So in that, we should be thankful and grateful and repent for what we've done. But the nature of man, you know, especially in the times we live in now, I mean, people have the nerve to say, is there a God? I mean, I would be so afraid to say that, and to mock God and mock the Holy Spirit. You know, you don't do that. And wrath is going to come to them. Wrath is going to come to those who don't repent. And even to those who call themselves Christians who do not repent and operate as a Christian, you know, the same thing will happen. Those that are in judgment of other people, we can't afford to be in judgment of anyone unless we want to be judged by that same standard.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. I see that part of just mercy, you know, the mercy of God. The mercy of God. Even for all that we do, all that sin comes short of the glory of God, he still shows mercy on us.
Amen. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. How kind. I'm going to go on and say that to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. To those who are persistent in doing good and doing the right thing, those that are practicing the gift, practicing the fruit of the Spirit, you know. And it says, but for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile, for God does not show favoritism. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
God. But glory, amen, honor, and peace for everyone who does good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And he doesn't. He doesn't show favoritism. You know, it's like I imagine the Lord calling him Susan, and he said, even you, Susan, you know, I'm so it's insignificant in my little corner in my little world, and he still loves me. He sees me, and he loves me. Praise God, you know. He loves little old me, and calls me by my name. Praise God. For our listeners, in what ways does God's kindness lead to repentance in your life? And what are the consequences of not accepting his kindness? I wonder if any of our listeners could respond to that. Or maybe you just want to think about it, use it as a rhetorical statement. We have a listener that wants to make a comment. Is someone in area code 330? You're on.
Oh,
hello.
Welcome. Welcome. I'm so glad to finally get a chance to talk with you guys. I keep going over in my mind about repentance and the things that people need to do to make themselves right with God. And it seems that it would be so easy for those of us that are saved to do those things that we need to do to stay right with God. But more and more as we look around today, we see so many folk that are just falling away for no reason, falling away for no good thought. They would rather lean toward the bad thought than the good one. And that just, it just amazes me continually that we are changing toward evil, even though God has said the path to him is small. The path to hell is wide. So why would anyone that has even studied sparsely the Word of God want to fall away from the opportunity of repentance and the wonderfulness, if you will, of being with God and with him in his word? Can we talk about that a second? I wonder why that continues to happen. Do you guys have any thought in that area?
Sure. You know what? Sometimes I think about, and you know, we have to be careful too, because I don't want to sound judgmental, and I pray that I never find myself in that situation or distant from the Lord. I can't imagine that. But I wonder about people just growing up, not just growing up in the church, but since I've recommitted my life to Christ and been more interested in study. You see people doing that, and you see people dabbling in, you know, in other faiths as well, and thinking that all of it is good. The only thing that I attribute it to is that it never took root in their heart. You know, like I was saying, you know, the enemy wants our heart, and the Lord wants us to guard our heart. You know, we come to him, we're to guard our heart. That breastplate of righteousness is guarding our chest and our heart, our vital organ. And that vital organ of your spiritual heart is vital to your salvation, to your, you know, as we fight in this spiritual war, and it's vital to our life in Christ. And I just wonder if they truly had an understanding, had a true salvation experience when they were in the church or when they were calling themselves Christians. And because if they did, how did they walk away from it? And so I wonder if it's because sometimes people are just curious and they want to be, you know, they just think it's something to study, that this is just another book, another Bible, another religion, you know, another something to do, or this is tradition, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, that people are there, but that the word never took root and that Jesus truly didn't have a place in their heart, possibly. Those are the only things I can think of, because I can personally think of a few families, excuse me, a few families as examples that have come and gone and are now practicing, you know, going to a Unity church and, excuse me, and believing that, I'm going to step away for a minute, and believing that unity is okay because they're saying, because the Unity church is telling them that they can still go to other churches too, you know, that it's okay, everything is all right. I'm going to step away.
Well, you know, that being said, I think that constant study and constant teaching helps the individual to stay steadfast in what they are headed toward, which is the righteousness of God. That they fall away that because they just haven't had enough, for lack of a better word, cementing into the word. They don't they think that there's a door in their heart that they can step out of, and do those things that they want to do, and then step back in and say, oh, Lord, forgive me. And it just, God has given us the ability to think on our own, but that thinking ability is so easily marred and so easily thrown off, and it just is, it continues to boggle my mind that so many having, you see it on TV every day with all the horrors on TV, all the horrors in life, and they seem to be becoming bigger and bigger. My wife and I often say that we are in the last days, which the Bible has said these things would happen, but it is still so much easier to follow His word than to just go off and do things that you know are wrong. So I remain confused about man, but I am not confused about what God has said man needs to do.
Yeah, my brother, this is a spiritual warfare that we're constantly up against, and sometimes we don't realize that, as the word says, the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy, especially if you're trying to do right, if you're trying to follow Christ. There's going to be unseen challenges that we have, and if we do not keep our minds focused on or realize that this is a battle that we're in, and there are so many in life, so many demands in life that come against us that try to prevent us from getting closer to God, because the closer that we do get to God, the stronger we become, and the stronger that we become, the harder it is for the enemy to break us down or tear us down. So it is to try to destroy us before we get too strong. Before we get too strong in the Word. That's why the Bible study is so important. The studying of the Word of God. Even when they came out of the wilderness, God reminded them to post everything on the walls, in the walls in your house. So it constantly serves as a reminder. Why? Because we so easily forget. We so easily forget about God's mercy. God could do something great for someone one day, and then maybe a month or a year later, they almost kind of forget it. But that's what we live in.
I am so gratified that we haven't forgotten. I'm so glad that so many of us are going in the right direction. I'm so thankful for those teachers as yourself and your wife that are doing such great work, keeping the word in our mind, keeping the thought in our heart of the hunger we should have for love and peace and those things, those fruits of the Spirit are so wonderful, and the other things really aren't, but you have to be shaded on that side where evil is so that you can continue to enjoy the fruits of the Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So Amen. We need to constantly work on strengthening that shade so that the sinful nature of man will not interfere with our lives, and let us go on in peace.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We, Sister Suzanne, are you back on? Okay, she must be having an attack. We rebuke in the name of Jesus. We're looking at Romans 11:22. My brother, won't you read? Get it. Would you like to read it?
Oh, let me go back to my Bible.
for those that are listening, again, if you would like to comment, the number is 347-237-4054. And once you're connected, if you hit the number one, that will let us know that you would like to share. A red light will come on our computer, and that lets us know that you would like to share. This is an interactive Bible study, and we do like to invite everyone to be a part of this interactive Bible study so we can continue to grow together in the Spirit of God. Amen?
Yes. Okay, I have 11:22 here. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell. Severity, but not toward thee. Goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. That's kind of plain. It's kind of plain and simple.
Amen. Amen.
Stay on the right path, and you continue to go in the right direction. Otherwise, God will cut you off, and he has
Amen.
The ability to do that.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
Those are the things that need to be talked about continually. Because all of us get to the point we want to go another way. And we need to know that God's not having that.
Amen. Amen.
But we want his goodness with me. Say again, please.
No, I'm saying that was the last thing that we want to do is just to be cut off from God. You know,
no,
from his grace.
Mm-hmm. But see, the thing that they seem to forget, they always need his goodness. The first thing anyone says in time of trouble is, Lord, have mercy.
Mm-hmm.
But why do you want to call him when you're in? Why don't you call him when you wake up in the morning? Why don't you
Amen.
Thank him when you are able to sleep through the night? Why don't you be able to thank him that you can go to bed not hungry for the word at night? So he's with you day and night, 24/7.
Amen.
Be careful
Praise
what
the
you
Lord. Do. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And isn't it good to know that it doesn't make a difference what comes against us? What does the word say? Nothing that comes against us as a child of God shall prosper.
Nothing.
Nothing.
You know, what is it that we need? Do we need to witness it to know it? Or do we need to read it to know it? I think different people have different thoughts on that, but I've witnessed things have come against me and my family, and we survived them without problem. God was always with us. He never left us. Nor forsake us. See, him is always there. And I am so, so thankful that he finds favor with us.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I'm so thankful. Because he, those, and the people that I attempt to surround myself with are of like thinking. And that makes it easier also. People forget that. You know, when you've been one way and you're with those persons that are doing wrong, you want to separate yourself from them and get with people of right thinking. And it makes
Amen.
Your life much easier. Much easier
Amen.
Indeed. But you can tell them that all day long, but if you still hunger for that sinful nature, what can you do?
Amen. Amen. Yeah, amen. And, you know, just for those things alone, you know, that's what, you know, we look at the title in terms of kindness. Just for those things
mm-hmm.
alone of just what God does for us allows us, as we spoke of the fruit of the Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to be able to treat another one with kindness, with gentleness,
mm-hmm.
with goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And we know how to do
that. Say.
Say it again.
I said he treats us all the same.
Amen.
He doesn't change
Amen.
From one to the other.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. The Lord. Praise the Lord. Sister Suzanne, are you there? Okay.
Hopefully she'll be all right soon.
Amen. Father, we come against any attack, any type of allergies or anything, Heavenly Father, against Sister Suzanne, Heavenly Father. We pray, Heavenly Father, blessings. We pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would just apply the blood all over her, Heavenly Father, as she administers the word, Heavenly Father. We realize, Heavenly Father, that we fight not against flesh and blood, but we fight against principalities and high places. Fight right now, Father, you said that when there's two or three that come together in your name, that you would be in the midst. And we ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that all those attacks, Heavenly Father, they're dismissed in the name of Jesus. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Father, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for blessing. We thank you for restoring. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this time in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're looking at Second Corinthians 6:6.
Six and six, yes. By pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, indeed.
That word pureness it goes extremely, extremely deep. When I see that, I see that as integrity, our integrity, leading a holy life. In other words, honoring God in all that we do. Honoring God, being obedient to the Word of God. Being obedient
to God. That's like
breathing
fresh air, you know that? To honor God is like fresh air, too. To honor God is like sweet smells. As a kid, you always think to yourself, you can't give honor all the time. But it's easy if you have a mindset that is going in the direction that it's supposed to go. It's much easier to honor God. And honoring God isn't bowing down, like you said. Honoring God is just thanking him continually for his goodness and his grace and his mercy. That is honor to God. Doing those things again that he would have you do, knowing that he's giving you the strength and courage to do those things that he's asked you to do.
Amen.
So it seems simple, but it's so difficult for so many, and I feel so badly about that. You wish you could just open them up and throw it in so that they would know the things that they're missing, but not following behind you, because he's kind and good all the time.
Amen.
Never does he miss a beat with that. Never.
Amen. And it isn't good to know that God is always, always, as you said, he's kind and good all the time. He never changes.
Yes. No, he doesn't.
We change.
Mm-hmm.
But he never changes.
Yes. And, I take strength and courage in that. It's like talking to your mom or dad, and you know that when they tell you no or tell you yes, they mean that. And you can take strength from those words. And you know God, if he tells you no, just don't do it. It's easier for you. And you're honoring him by doing what he says, do.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Indeed. hope I'm not taking up everybody else's time. I'm enjoying this, but if someone else trying to get into you, I'll yield my time.
Yeah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Anytime anyone wants to comment, they would hit number one, and a red light would show on our computers, and we just open it up for discussion. It's just great that we come together. When we can come together and just talk about the goodness of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord. Amen?
Yes, amen indeed.
Amen. Amen. If there's anyone else that would like to make a comment, please hit number one, or by internet, the number is 347-237-4056. Praise the Lord. Sister Suzanne, how are you doing? Okay. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
We are still, for those of you that just tuned in, we are talking about kindness. We're talking about kindness, how the Lord sees kindness, how we're supposed to be, treating one another with kindness. And kindness comes from the fruit of the Spirit. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Amen?
Yes, amen indeed.
When a person is kind, they're gentle to another person. They're gentle in temper. They're gentle in spirit. Amen. A kind person is, you might say, that's a good man. You hear that term.
It's nice
he's a
to
good
hear
man.
That, Steve, yeah. It's wonderful to hear that term. To be,
amen.
To have that said about you. He's a good man.
Praise the Lord. And that's just a fruit of the Spirit. That's just one of our spirits that we have. Being kind one to another. Amen. If we had kindness all over this world, we would not be looking at war. We wouldn't be looking at war. We wouldn't be looking at envy.
No, we wouldn't.
Jealous that someone else has.
Mm-hmm. Our minds wouldn't fall for those things that, for example, that happened in Boston, or the things that happened in with little children up north. So many things that happened because our minds are just falling away from God. And in that kindness of his thought and his word, we're falling away so quickly. And I just, it is not horrifying because I know that God is with me all the time, but it's just sad for the world to go like this. You can't have any kind things, any good things, because so many bad things overpower that word.
Amen. 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 Well, you know, the more we get of the word in us, you know, the more it begins to start to change us, the more we begin to act and respond to one another like Christ.
Yes. Yes.
Kindness.
It makes your mouth sweeter.
Pardon?
I said it makes your mouth sweeter.
Amen. 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 Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Kindness. How we treat one another. Kindness. My goodness. I know I like for people to be kind to me.
Without question. And
Amen.
Me also. But I return it likewise. I like to give it back also. Before you even look to me, I want to give it to you first. Because I want you to know that I love you more.
Man.
This is
praise
God
the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
We're moving on to our next scripture. And again, we are talking about kindness. The topic is kindness, and we are on Ephesians 2:7. Ephesians 2:7.
Ephesians 2:7.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ.
Amen. That in the ages to come the exceeding riches of his grace. When I look at exceeding, exceeding to me is something that's overflowing.
Yes.
And can you imagine having grace that's overflowing?
You know, that's I can imagine it, but I wish that so many more can.
Hmm. Amen.
Because he's been extremely kind. He's been extremely, you know, you all, when you talk about things that God has done, you know, you think of yourself first and how much he's done for you, and then you look around you, because God keeps our eyes focused on him, but you look around you and see the wonderful things he's done for so many people. And you rejoice in that, because it's such a good feeling to know that many are going with me to heaven.
Amen.
Not that I'm ready to go today, but many of them are going with me to heaven, and I thirst for more to come.
Hmm.
I want to get everybody with us.
Amen. And how do you read that? What do you read that from when it says that in the ages to come?
I'm losing your voice. Say that again, please.
That in the ages to come, speaks of in the scripture, that he might show exceeding riches, that in the ages to come.
You know, he's not talking about the ages of this man. He's talking about the ages of man, period. So as time goes by, it will become clearer to us. You think that's what it is?
The ages of the come is
the ages
future, and the, later on, the, ages to come?
Well, you know, as we, as people, grow older, in wisdom, we will see more clearly what he's doing for us. Those of us that are saved. In the age to come, he might show exceeding riches. It has to be as time goes by, because he's conscious of time, because he keeps all time. So he knows that eventually everybody will understand. And he's patient. Where we become impatient with the things that people do, he becomes more patient with the things that they do. that must be what he's saying. His goodness will show itself as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Even to those that are blind today.
Amen. 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 Any other comments from those that are listening? The ages to come. If you'd like to comment, hit number one and tune in. When I see the ages come, I think about just in terms of future times, the salvation. When Jesus Christ comes back, he says, I'm coming back for us, and then we are in heaven. Takes us back on home. And he might show the exceeding riches of his graces.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at it, the time that we're here, this is only a short time that we're here.
Yes.
Our hope is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Our hope is eternal. We're trying to do the best that we can here so that when our work has been done here, then we have a home that's not made with hands, that has not been made with hands.
That's it.
And that's when, to me, when I see the exceeding riches of his graces, that's when we receive the fullness of his graces.
Because the things he does here for us are of the flesh, it would seem, because that's the way we accept it. But it's because of his grace that it settles itself into our heart and keeps us ever moving forward toward him.
Amen. Amen.
We gotta hold on indeed.
And we're all trying to make it on home.
Yes.
Even though that we're not perfect, even though that we make mistakes, Isn't it good? He doesn't look at our works, but he looks at our heart.
Yes.
He looks at our heart.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
So you've got to keep your heart and your mind open to hear his words so that you don't falter.
Amen. And just that comment alone is an encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
Comment that you made alone is just that's an encouragement for all of us.
Mm-hmm. It is. And it's such a simple thing to do. Just be conscious of what you're doing. Be conscious of what you're saying. And ask God to help you to stay alert and follow as you should.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. We're moving on to our next scripture, and we are looking at, we've completed Ephesians 2:7, Colossians 3:12. Colossians 3:12. And I will read that.
Mm-hmm.
Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. The elect of God.
That would mean those that have been chosen.
Amen.
Would it not?
We have all been redeemed by the same blood. Mm-hmm. That blood that died on the cross, we have all been redeemed by that same blood, and as you said, chosen by the same grace.
Yes.
And we are all brothers. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. And therefore, since we're all brothers and sisters of Christ, how do we treat one another? How does brothers and sisters respond to one another? The
with
spirit
love.
Of kindness,
yep.
gentleness, and love.
That's it. Because once you know that family, there's nothing but love there.
Amen.
So with your brother, with your sister, you always greet them with love. Whisper nothing but love in their ear. Give them a loving touch. Let them know that God is with them as he is with you.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
And let's grow in God together.
Amen. And isn't it good to know that we have all been redeemed by the same blood, that Jesus Christ's blood that died, that the blood that was shed on the cross was not
mm-hmm.
only for you, but for the listeners that are listening, and even those that are not listening.
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful to know. Just to know what he sacrificed for us.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. You know, I like when it says brothers and sisters of Christ. And he's giving
mm-hmm.
us an example of being brothers and sisters here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
About how we treat our brothers and sisters here on earth is the same that we're supposed to respond to others.
Yes. Yeah. And that would be so simple to do. We should try it every day. Every day.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Kindness. I know my brothers and sisters can ask me for almost anything.
Yeah.
If I don't have it, I'll try to get it for them.
Amen.
If
now that's a real brother. That's what God would want you to do. That's what God wants us all to do.
Amen. 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 So even you listening, even those that are listening, by internet, my brothers, our brothers and sisters in Christ, we have all been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So therefore, that has given us the same Father. The same Father.
Mm-hmm.
Died on the cross for you and for me.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. So
amen.
Often, you know, my brother, when nowadays when we say, when another brother says to another brother, "I love you," and someone who do not know Christ, they'll look at you like something's wrong.
What is
when
you
tell
says,
another brother, "I love you."
Mm-hmm.
Say it again.
Is that what you said? When they say how lucky?
I love you.
You
when
said?
You tell a brother or even another sister, "I love you." And you're talking about Christ, but someone that don't know Christ don't understand what you're saying.
No, they don't. No, they don't. And that's a sad situation when they don't. But it's our obligation to open their eyes to what we're saying. Through verse, through study, just Let them give you a moment, and you can open their eyes to what you're saying and what they need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Just give a moment of thought to what I'm saying, and then you'll know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Because this love goes way beyond what can be seen. Way beyond.
Amen.
But, yes.
Amen.
That being said, I need to give some love to somebody else some more time, because I'm running out of juice here on this cell phone that never teaches us juice in it anyway. You know.
We thank you.
But,
we do thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you, and you know, we're looking at about another 10 minutes, and we're going to be and the show's going to be ending. But we do thank you for tuning in. Even those of you that I'm looking at numbers on here, if you'd like to make a comment on kindness, please do so. Hit number one. If you would like to share what kindness is to you, or anything that we've discussed at this time, we would like for you just to hit number one and just share what's on your heart. Share what's on your heart. Amen? Anyone like to make a comment? Amen. We are here, and the last scripture that we discussed was Colossians 3:12. And it says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. When I think about humbleness of mind, someone who is not high-minded, someone who do not always have to be in the front, the forerunner, who understands other people, others. Meekness, and we've talked about that prior. We've talked about meekness, how that's seen as a weakness to some. But in God, that's a strength. And God is saying that's how we are supposed to respond one to another. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, compassion one for another. When a brother is hurting, that means that we are hurting also. Kindness, always treating another person the way we would like to be treated in kindness. Amen. Humbleness of mind, meaning that we understand meekness and long suffering. And if you've been following with us, we talked about long suffering also. Anyone who is in Christ can handle whatever situation that you're going through. You can handle that. It doesn't make a difference what it is, because God is always on our side. Amen? God said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. So he is always by our side. No matter what we're going through, may it be our finances, may it be a loss of job, may it be sickness. There may be a sickness that we may be going through. But God is always with us. He is always with us. He understands our pain. He understands our suffering. Whatever we're going through, God understands that. And that's why we always give glory to him. Glory to God. It says in the Word, in all things, be content. Be content. Know that God is there. And if God is there, then everything is going to be all right. He's going to allow us to be able to endure the things that we think that we can't endure. Or when we come short, God is always going to make sure that it's not short enough so that we're going to be harmed by it. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are looking at our last scripture, which is Titus 3, 4 through 7. 4 through 7. And it states, but after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. According to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And if you, before Sister Suzanne was talking about the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the spirits, and Timothy 3:6, it says, whom he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Titus, I'm sorry, I said Timothy, it's Titus 3:6. And then Titus 3:7 said that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And when it says the hope of eternal life, that's what we hope for, eternal life. Because after this life, after we have served our time here on this earth, we have to recognize that we have to go somewhere. And our hope is that we are going to make it in to heaven. That's eternal life. That's eternal life. Amen? Amen. And kindness, being kind one to another, is one of the things that we have to have, that God is saying that we should have. We should have within us kindness. Kindness. That's a goodness that we have, a goodness toward others. Good. You know, kindness. Amen? And there is a plan of salvation that was found on the love of man. And the salvation, our salvation, is the highest expression of that love. God loved us so much that he came and died on the cross that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Our Savior, our Lord and Savior, gave his life for you and for me. Amen? We have been redeemed. We have been bought. We have been bought. We have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. So when you really think about it, we are owned by Jesus Christ. We have been purchased. And at that time when there was sin and Jesus Christ stood up for us and gave his life, he gave his life for us that we might live. And since we live, we are supposed to the obedience to the Word of God. God has given us almost like a prescription that we're supposed to follow. And that's the law, His law. The Word of God. The Word of God. When I think of the Word of God, it, you know, it says that the Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Word of God. Amen? God loved us so much that He gave His life for you and for me because of our sin. And we still do sin. We still do sin. But God knows our heart. And that's when Sister Suzanne was talking about before. For repentance, we are always to ask God for forgiveness. Amen? My goodness. My goodness. God is so good. God is so good. We hope that you enjoyed this this time with us. I'm Brother John and Sister Suzanne, and we are on every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, from 7 o'clock to 8:25, and we just share the Word of God. And we love when we have those that come on and that want to share your experiences or what the Lord is saying to you. There are so many who are listening that is not saying anything or not sharing what's on their heart, but we know that if you're listening or if you're tuning in, we pray that you're receiving something from this, and we know also that you are loved. You are loved. But remember, God loves you more. Amen. And so until we meet again next Wednesday at 7 o'clock, we look forward to that time when we can come together and just to share the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to end on this time because we have maybe about another minute. We have another minute before we will be shut off again. If you would like to call in, it's 347-237-4054. By internet, you would type in Blog Talk Radio, and then after you get in at the window, you would type in We Can Begin Again, and that would take you to us. There's an eagle up at the top, and you would see that eagle, and the title of this whole message this time has been Discipleship by Design. And so once you see that, you know that you have been connected with us. You can also archive anything that we've ever tuned, we've ever done. You can archive that as well. So until the next time we meet, God bless you.